Singing it to him now. Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, God and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen. Amen. Lord, just make me a sanctuary. Is that what you want to be?
Amen.
For the Lord. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn to your scripture we've been reading in Daniel 9, we'll read 9 verse 20 through 24 that we've been reading for quite a while. We had a little time off and all, and we may have to do a good bit of background in tonight to make sure we don't lose you. So I believe it may be necessary, you know, because we hadn't spoke on any of it in quite a while. But we want to make sure and thank everybody, my wife and I, for all of the gifts and the things that was given unto us there, you know, on Sunday, and it was really wonderful. Had a good time in the Lord. I really enjoyed it. I had plenty to eat. Thank you all of the brothers and sisters for everything to eat and everything. We thank Sister Gail for the flowers. She's always put them in for us and everything, and we appreciate that. Everything is done. It's not overlooked. It's seen, you know. And we forgot one thing we've been doing ever since we've been here. Ever since we started this church, we have been giving fruit away on, you know, little bags of fruit with candy and stuff. And it was my fault. My wife said, take it in. I said, well, we'll just leave it in the car. It'll be cooler and we can get it, because I always did. And everybody always went out in the back. We totally forgot it. Everybody was gone. Here I start to stick my head in the car and I smell the fruit. And say, uh-oh. First time for both of us. So, you know, we're both getting old. You know, or older. So, but we got to, it's downstairs now, or in the back of the car. So don't forget that we've got some fruit for everybody, and I don't think it'll be enough to hold over for another week. So what we done was, I hope you don't mind, you that will hear it and maybe not get none, but we sent a box of it up to the old folks' at home or nursing home or something with Boyd and Janet and them, where they could take it there. So, you know, somebody got a benefit out of it. You know, we may have missed it, and Brother Boyd said they were. Amen. Brother Boyd said he was really blessed by doing it. So, if, you know, maybe our loss of not giving it out is y'all's, is their benefit of receiving. So we just appreciate that. But don't forget tonight now, we do have the fruit. And I'll give Wade my keys, so it's in the back of the car. Don't forget to go get you some when the service is over. And the way it looks, you can probably have a couple of bags, because we got a whole lot left. And we, you know, so just, you know, we thank the Lord. But just now, remember, it's done been announced, there won't be any services Sunday, but there will be services on the following Wednesday. And then we will be having the watch night service. Brother Richard and a bunch of the people are coming down and all, and we're still in saying to the ones in the Atlanta area, you know, come up and don't drive back, because we intend to have, you know, a service on Sunday morning, New Year's Day. Start at 11 o'clock, probably not have any Sunday school or anything, just have a service, and then we'll have a dinner together on that after the service, and then that way you can go home and enjoy the day the rest of the time. So I think that's all the announcements. Did I miss anything? Let's see. First Saturday, you're going to be gone. Be here first Saturday in December, in January. We will have Bible study here at the church, 6 o'clock. So that will get us back on to kind of our schedule time. So remember that. And remember all of the announcements about the food and the fixing. I think it's finger food for the watch night. You know, then a dinner following. So we can pile all of it together. And it was really, it was really great our Sunday because there was so much of it and all. And you know, everything worked out real good. So we appreciate it. Just pray one for another and that the Lord may bless us all together. And remember Anna and Richard tonight, so just keep them in your heart, that the Lord would bless and guide each one. Now, let's pray before, I believe that's all announcements. Daniel 9:20. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace unto us. Thank you for the day that you've given us, the hour that you've allowed us to live upon the earth. But most of all, Lord, for the word that you have given into our hearts. And Father, if you never spoke to us again, if you never revealed another word to us, if you never healed us, if you never done anything for us, we would have to still say, Lord, we love you and we thank you because you brought us to an understanding of you. And Lord, it's not just dates and times and seasons and 70 weeks and seals and trumpets. It's a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ into each one of our hearts and lives. And Father, just bless and guide each one. We love you. Open our understanding. That is a promise. The prophet said it wasn't hard to pray when you know you got a promise. We just ask you to fulfill it. And just have your way, Lord, tonight, and guide in each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Keith Reed called me the other night and said he was doing real good, and I told him what I was on. He said, well, good, then we can hurry up and get over here. I said, well, if I do, I'll just come over and play the tape. He said, that's okay, as long as you're sitting here. You know, and I think I announced it Sunday downstairs, most of you, Brother Ernie is in the Philippines, and he sent his love there last week, talked with Brother Tony Abner today, and we are talking about, I'm going tomorrow to try to find out. Now, all this tentative, nothing, see. But we may be trying to have an Easter services on the Easter weekend, right? Like we did last time up at Gainesville, if we can get everything set up. Right? Now, it's just tentative, so you pray about it. If it doesn't work out, then we won't worry about it. You know, it'll just be left up to the Lord, but we'll try to make a schedule for that if we can, and I'm going in the morning to try to get to place. So just pray, whatever the Lord would have to be done in each one of our hearts and lives. Verse 20, and whilst I was speaking and praying, now I keep looking at that word whilst. You know, maybe you don't think like I do. I thought, well, why did they put whilst? To me now, this is what I think about, okay? While is a while. You know, it means a time or a space or a period or a doing, et cetera, et cetera. But to me, now, when it says whiles, that means it's more than one. All right? You know, maybe if I'm wrong there, I don't know. I'm just giving you what I think when I read that word. I think what it means is Daniel was in constant prayer and supplication before the Lord. That's why it says whiles. See? All right. And whiles I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee. You remember? When he first started, God started coming toward him to bring it down, okay? For thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now notice, remember, I emphasize it, people and city, because you're dealing with two things, not just people only. All right. What is it to do now? One, finish the transgression. Two, make an end of sins. Three, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Four, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Number five, and to seal up the vision and prophecy. And number six is to anoint the most holy. So you may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, as I said many, many times to you, we're not trying to just preach dates and times and seasons. All right? Now, Brother Branham, I was reading it today in the message of the 70 week. And he said, you know, the life message, there's three messages there, you know, it's instructions and then sixfold purpose and then the 70 weeks. And he said it like this. He said, what Gabriel done to Daniel, says the Holy Ghost does to the church. All right. So now, he was to be given skill and understanding as Solomon prayed for wisdom to lead the people and got riches. He didn't want riches. He wanted wisdom. And he got wisdom, but he got riches too. You know. All right. Gabriel coming to Daniel was to show him, now, I keep emphasizing this, the entire journey of Israel upon the earth. Now, there is a gap in that when God is not dealing with Israel. That's called a Gentile dispensation. God dealt with Israel from the time there of when he was speaking to Daniel and the commandment to go forth, and we'll get to it later of an exact date, March the 14th, you know, and the prophet even gives the exact dates of it and things. And he not only shows him how much longer he's going to be in bondage, but he shows him all the journey of Israel upon the earth and how long that God would deal with them. Now, get that point. How long God would deal with them. Right. Right. And they have 70 weeks. Yeah. That's what they have. Because right. That's what it says. 70 weeks are determined. Right. Now, they don't have 71 or 69 or whatever. They, you know, they've got 70 weeks. But now remember, as the prophets, you've read it over and over from the messages there that I've asked you to read, that he says that it started back there. Well, see, it ends when Jesus Christ was crucified, and they said, let his blood be on us. That ended God dealing with Israel. And then he's to come back to Israel after the rapture of the church. And you got the time of the Gentiles, which is no time. I was noticing the prophet today emphasizing, he says, Gentiles don't have no time. He said, God deals with Israel exactly the 70 weeks. But he said, we don't have any time. He said, it's just called the Gentile dispensation. See, because we're in a 365 and a fourth periods of time. Now, they were already in that back there as far as maybe not that calendar system, because that didn't come in until later. I know a little bit about it. But still, he wasn't telling them back there that you're dealing 360 days back there, because it was still already confused. I told you in the calendar systems, they've been changed about three times that I have records of, and 1 year they put 13 months in, and 1 year they put 200 and something days in to line the stars back up and to do all kind of things. So you cannot calculate Gentile dispensational time. Right. When God is dealing, he is always dealing with the time of the, what did the prophet call it? The prophetic calendar. Right. 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 In the prophetic calendar, there's 30 days to the year, because, I mean to the month, because it's supposed to be standing. The earth was perfectly on its axis. Right. And spinning. Now it's so many degrees out, it wobbles out and wobbles back. That's what causes it. But the rest of the stars are still in perfect order. It's just you and I that are out of order. Alright? Because that's where we're at. But the prophet said that Daniel would be given, he would make known, Gabriel made known to Daniel the entire journey of Israel upon the earth. Now I've asked you to draw on the drawings that I gave out of you of the things and the times, and to keep up with them, you know, of the make an end of sin, bringing everlasting righteousness, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and ask you to keep up with that and mark down where that takes place. Because that's what we want to make sure to hammer down tonight. Because to me now, I want to title this the 70th week. But it's going to be trickery, or not deceiving to you, but it's going to be something I'm trying to say, because this is the key. So if I was you, I'd write down the 70th week, the key. Or the understanding of the 70th week is the key. Because now it is in the 70th week that five of the things of the sixfold purpose take place. The one of them, number five, that I believe it is on numbers in it, number five, to seal up the vision, that took place back there. There's only five to take place in the last days. See? Because seal up the vision was back there. Daniel 12, seal up, Daniel 12 and 4, seal up the things. See? So one of them's already taken place. Now, I ask you to mark those things down. See, that was back there. So there's only five things to take place in the last day. Now, what are you going to do? When you unveil the vision, then sin can be made an end. When you unveil the vision, righteousness can be revealed. Iniquity can be destroyed. Then the anointing can come, see, to anoint the most holy. Only after the vision is opened. So now, the Israel's eyes are blinded, as Paul said, until this time. Their hearts are blinded. They can't see. So God cannot make an end of their sin. Sure, we know He did at Calvary, but it's not been applied. He took care of a rapture for me and you at Calvary, but it's not been applied for us to get out of here yet, right? I know everybody wants to get us into these spiritual conditions and, you know, all of this. It ain't going to help you none. That's why I tried to emphasize through there when we were talking about the millennial temple that the prophet said would be erected on earth and gave you scriptures, Ezekiel 40 to 44. He gave scriptures for it. But see, we want to make a spiritual. We're the temple. There's no temple. We don't need a temple. Well, God said there'd be one. That's it. It's settled. Forget it. You can call Brother Dale stupid, dumb, and hard-headed all you want to, but I believe what the Bible says. And I believe what when it says it, we got to believe it. Then we don't try to figure it out. Whatever it be, let God take care of it Himself. Because it will be according to the prophet. But then I cautioned you in studying, and I was looking back over it again today, that cautioned you in talking about the rebuilding of the temple, that the prophet covers the rebuilding of the temple in the tribulation after we leave out of here. That natural Israel is going to back to daily what? Sacrifices. Right? See, he covers that in the book. To me, it's the most marvelous piece of literature that could ever be is the messages he preached on Daniel 70 weeks. Because he was the one who said you can't understand the seals and things without it. That's what he said. Now you argue with him. Well, nobody don't. Well, then nobody don't know what the seals are. What's all the preaching about? You know, why is everybody preaching if you don't understand something? Go back and get your church age book and sit down and read it. Then you find out in the church age book there's a lot about the seals, so you got to back out of that. You understand what I'm saying? It shows, Brother Branham was the one in the book. In the Daniel 70 weeks book, he said that man was stupid. He said, now forgive me for saying that. So I'm sorry. When I used to say that, I felt bad about it. But he said, now you forgive me for saying that. But he used the word there about that man and his doctrine. I heard one yesterday. Oh, I forgot to say, Arthur Argo, run into him yesterday, Brother Dean, at the doctor's office with Peggy, and he knows Brother Dean and Tom and him. Used to work at the plant. But anyhow, he was telling me, I don't know how we got on it, but we hit the 144,000. And I had never heard this one, and I'll give it to you. And I didn't laugh at the man. I thought it was a good explanation as far as a, you know, religious atmosphere people. He said the 144,000 was the babies that was killed under Pilate when they was trying to catch Jesus. He said, there's 12,000 from each tribe there died. And he said, that made, he said, because you see, the Bible says they had never been touched nor defiled. Said it'd have to be a baby. See, it was a good, smooth layout, you know. I mean, it was really right. I just didn't say nothing because there's no need of them. He did say, well, there is another 144,000 over there, you know, like that, because I told him who they were, the 12,000 from each tribe in the tribulation after we leave out of here. So he said, well, there's 12,000 over there, you know, 144 there, but that 144 in the Bible is back there. Well, I thought, well, okay, you know, they're trying, but we know the truth of it. It's not them babies back there, it's that people over here that don't get caught in that Catholic system. They have to give their life for the gospel. All right, but to know the truth is a wonderful thing. You know, to have an understanding that we have of the message is a wonderful opportunity of the Lord that has given us. All right, but let me get back on now. We covered the placing of those sixfold purposes, you know, because it is 70 weeks are determined. It's going to take 70 weeks to bring about the sixfold purpose. Right. Now, you say, well, what do we need that for? You know, I've made this statement over and over to you, and I keep making it because Brother Reed said, hey, Brother Dale, you're on the internet, make sure you keep quoting a lot of things. I said, all right. See, that sixfold purpose started back there of the seal up the vision. Alright. It started back there, seal up the vision. And God started recording what time he was dealing with Israel until Calvary. Right. Then he quit dealing with Israel and brought in a Gentile dispensation. And then in the last days, when we leave out of here, he's going to turn back to Israel. Alright. So one purpose is already fulfilled. He's already sealed up the vision. But to make an end of sin, bring in everlasting righteousness, etc., all of those things, they'll take place after we leave out of here in the 70th week to Israel. Right. But as I was saying there a moment ago, and I'm glad the Lord brought it back, see, that Brother Branham covers the Jews building a temple and a daily sacrifice. Then he covers the millennial temple. And he even uses the word daily sacrifice. But I'm not trying to correct him nor stating it. I'm trying to state what he says. There's nothing to die in the millennium. So it is not a sacrifice of an animal in the millennium. It's the explaining to those people that come up there in the millennial reign. There's a gospel to the heathen to explain all of those things. That's why the temple will be there. I've preached that to you. So then the 70 weeks will cover all the way from where he started there until the millennial reign, because that is the final stopping point that you can find anywhere of the children of Israel. Because when you come to the future home, I believe they'll be there. But the prophet brought in the bride only when he was speaking of the future home, and he said there'd be nations outside somewhere. See, so it's not dealing with the Jews anymore. The millennial reign is for the Jews. Because it's a promise to David that his son would sit on his throne. And it's going to be in the millennium, and you and I are going to be there on a honeymoon. There's going to be building in the millennium. But in the future home, there won't be any building because he's already went and built. It's going to come down complete. But there's things in the millennium that won't be in the future home. You know. Alright? So then you can have a natural temple in the millennium. But when you get to the future home, you have no need of the light because the Bible said he's the light. You don't have no need of a sacrifice because he's the lamb. But what I'm trying to get you to see is, why do we need this? Because whatever puts them there, puts us there. What am I preaching? Sixfold purpose of what? The revealing of Jesus Christ to the Jews. That's what makes an end of sin. Check all them. I quoted them. I gave Brother Brown's the paragraphs it was where he says, when they see him, that makes an end. That brings in everlasting righteousness, he said, when Satan is sealed up. Now, when is Satan sealed up? Satan's not sealed up in the middle of the millennium. He's not sealed up after the millennium. He's sealed up for the millennium because the Bible says that he'd be sealed for 1,000 years. So that solves it and settles it. What I'm saying is the prophet told us the scriptures. Then everybody wants to say he was so wrong. They say he was wrong there in 61 or what it was in the 70 weeks of Daniel when he was preaching and said there's a week left. They say, well, he was right over here later. Well, where did he correct it? But that's what I'm trying to get you to see. In the book, you take the book page by page and you show me a contradiction to the seals in it. I challenge you, somebody on our ways, hear me. Show me a contradiction from the Daniel 70 weeks into what the prophet said in the seal book. Because you're dealing with two things. You don't even follow the scriptures. There is no such thing in the Bible as God making a covenant for 7 years. He makes a covenant for eternity. He's already made it with the children of Abraham. But yet he has 3.5 years back there and 3.5 years over here. That's in Daniel 70 weeks. That's in the seal. That's in the whole message. That Jesus preached 3.5 years and those 3.5 years go to the Jews. But then when he gets, the prophet gets to that, on the 70 weeks of Daniel, he's placing the time to Israel. Never was he contradictory to the seal book when he said, you misunderstood. Why? Because they were only dealing with the ministry of Jesus Christ. I'll get to that later. But the prophet said, paragraph 50, the Daniel 70 weeks message there, he said, all scripture is given in parables. Just like I said a moment ago, the prophet preaching, coming through, showing you that in it, that when we leave out of here, Israel will go back to daily sacrifices. They'll do it. That natural Israel will go back. That 144,000 won't go to that natural sacrifice. No way. But then when they're killed and we get into the millennium, you'll have a temple there. One type and the other. One showing the other. One a symbol of the other. Just like the millennium. There'll be things in the millennium that won't be in the future home. One of them is a type of the other. One of them is a parable from the other one. And the prophet said the millennium, Jesus Christ has the millennium in him. Do you know where the millennium is now? In you by the new birth. Come on, where's it at? See, we're not putting it into scriptures. Then that way it gets in mass confusion. Well, was it 7 or was it 3.5? Well, I don't guess it was. I guess this is both of them. So we'll just make it turn out to be a 10.5. You know. Oh, we've got a great revelation. I'd rather not say nothing. Maybe that's what it's said about that statement. Why go through life letting everybody think you're a nut and don't know nothing when you can open your mouth and remove all doubt? Maybe that's what we do sometimes. We open our mouth and remove all doubt, you know. Everybody knows where we're at. But listen, church, that's what I've said. Bring me a statement from the prophet. But just remember, you've got to have your types and shadows. And you've got to consider what he's speaking of. And you can't destroy that in any form. He said in the 70 weeks, I was reading today, he said, I've been comparing this all through the scriptures. Well, really, the people of the message said, they're saying, tie it up, throw that away, because he's not right. It's like I told you about the big brother in the message, you know, the big man. He said, Brother Branham on the Feast of the Trumpets made so many slips of the tongue that it couldn't be understood what he's talking about. He said, it's thus saith the Lord. Play with your words. When we get over on that other side, we're going to see whether it's right or not. But unless we get it right here, we're not going over on the other side. something. That's what I'm trying to show you. Whatever puts them over there is what's going to put us over there. What's going to put Israel in the millennium? The revelation of Jesus Christ that they didn't receive back there. They've got to come to the revelation of Jesus Christ for whatever they have to have, just like you and I have got to come to the revelation of Jesus Christ. You and I have got to come to that revelation to be able to comprehend anything. You know. To be able to see what's going on. To be able to withstand the Antichrist. Because if we don't see the revelation, we can't withstand him. Don't worry about the Antichrist over in that denominational church. Amen. The biggest one I worry about is what's between my ears. Amen. Called my brain. You know. Well, brother, damn. We don't need to listen to you. You got a bad brain. Well, what kind of one have you got? I'll be glad to sit down and let you have it, women or whatever. I never believed a woman preacher, but I'll be glad to sit down and let her explain this. Because I want the revelation. Because that's what I'm telling you. Whatever puts them there is going to put us there. Well, all right, why can't I study what they're saying? You know, to them, and see it to me. And find myself. And find where we're at. Because what did that prophet say now? What? The last one is to do what? To anoint the most holy. And I gave it to you over and over and over and over. Go from paragraph 116 through paragraph 133 of the last book, the one that's called 70 Weeks, and read it. And see how many times the prophet said that the anointing of the millennium was the last, the temple in the millennium was the last thing. That's already in the millennium with the temple built. That's what people don't understand, Brother Branham. They think he was saying 7 years after the rapture. Well, 7 years, that's 365 and the 4 days multiplied by seven. Well, we know what we're talking about. You don't even know that. If you did multiply it by 360, you'd do better, but that ain't mathematics. You understand what I'm saying? That wouldn't help you any if you got it 360. But what we need is a revelation. Revelation of what? Not whether there's 3.5 or 7, but a revelation of Jesus Christ and what he's doing. Which part of the ministry of Jesus Christ do we get? You know, the people of this message, I keep telling you this, the people of this message claim we're preaching the message of condemnation. You better be careful because you'll bring yourself right into the tribulation. To preach grace is the greatest condemnation there's ever been. Is Jesus going to preach? Did he preach 3.5 years of grace and then over here he's going to preach 3.5 years of judgment? Come on. I thought the lifetime for the last 3.5 years would be the same ministry of Jesus Christ that was in the first half.
Right, amen.
I mean, that's all I've ever thought about.
Right.
And that's the ministry of Jesus Christ that's in the bride of Christ in the last days.
Amen.
And that lets us see right where we're standing. Right here ready to move right over to Israel, and we're not going over there.
Right.
But the message we carry will go. But it would be dangerous for someone that understood the scriptures to go to Israel and could really get those people to listen to what they were saying. Don't worry about it. You can't open their eyes. It ain't going to open their eyes. That's why Brother Brown said, there ain't no need of you going. He never said, don't go over there and give them Bibles. You better listen to what he's saying. He just says, you can't open their eyes. He was glad they was giving them Bibles. I'm glad they're giving them Bibles. I'm glad the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterian, the Pentecost, everybody's giving the Bibles to Israel. You know why? Because maybe some of them might read it. And you know what it would show them? If they'd read the New Testament, they'd see the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then the two prophets wouldn't have a whole lot of trouble trying to preach to them. They could say, you remember that Bible you got? They told you, hey, yeah, I remember it. I got it marked. I'm glad for those things. Because it's going to save a lot of trouble. But four of those things we covered in the tribulation to make an end of sin, bringing everlasting righteousness and all. Those four there, 1 through 4, covers in the tribulation period called Daniel's troubles. And the prophet, even in 1 or 2 of them, got close and said, see, here we are with the millennium fixing to take place. But then when he gets to that 6th one of the anoint the most holy, he goes right straight to the millennium with it. So then the 70 weeks of Daniel goes from the time that he was speaking to Daniel and the record of where he was to start to rebuild the temple. I'll put it that way where it'd be more scripturally correct. So I'll give you the exact date when we get to it. It's over in the 70th week. It's March the 14th of, is it 445? Anyhow, there's a date there exactly. When he said that's when the commandment went forth to rebuild, because that's what the scripture's talking about, the commandment to rebuild the temple. 445. March of 14. So right there is where it started at. It was sealed up with Daniel and him to fulfill one, but then he started right there, and then it's going to end in the millennium. That's what people can't connect it together. They can't see that when those two prophets come on the scene, there, I'm way over in the message. Forgive me. I'll repeat this again. Don't bother me. But see, Israel, when they get the message, they're only going to get 360 days. Because that's what the book of Revelation says. You know. They're only going to get the 360 days to the year. They're not going to be getting 365 and a fourth. In God's time, it'll already be back to correct order. Man's time, there'll still be going on. That's why you can't take time and make it work. You got a 5.5 day gap. I figured that out today, and I come up so close to what the prophet was saying until when we get to it. I've done this before, but when we get to it, we'll show that he knowed more about it than what we think. An uneducated hillbilly. Sure, he would say A.D. 30, and sure, he'd say A.D. 33. Sure, he'd give the wrong times and dates on it because he was a human being. But that might have been the Holy Spirit. Not Brother Branham, but the Holy Spirit to blind the eyes of the smart educated. But listen, the 70th week of Daniel has to come into the millennium then. If you're going to read your Bible, 70 weeks are determined. So if you don't go into the millennium when you're studying of Daniel's 70 weeks, then you're cutting short Israel. And what everybody's teaching in the message, they're teaching that only that Israel gets 3.5 years after the rapture. Well, what are you going to do about the other 3.5? Where's it at? So you shorted Israel 3.5 years. Oh yes, I'm a smart aleck. But I got a little calculation. Oh sure, they want to bring it back yonder. But that ain't what the Bible says. The Bible says it's 69 weeks until the Messiah. And the prophet said that's when Jesus was crucified. Give you the exact date he was crucified or rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, which the next Sunday was the crucifixion or Friday. Right to the dates and the times exactly. But all everybody wants to do is argue 3.5 or 7 or this, that, or the other. They don't see it's a revelation. What are you trying to say, Brother Bill? The 70th week is the key to all things. To understand what transpires in that 70th week. 69 weeks was back there. And ended at Calvary. Your prophet said it. Read it. Never did he change that. Show me where he ever changed it. But you see, that's what people can't see. They can't see he can preach to Israel as one thing. And then turn around and pick us back up and come over, because we'll cover it next Wednesday. What about the prophet saying 70 weeks equals 7 years? What's he saying? Oh, man. What's he saying? He's in a parable. 70 weeks is 490 years. Puts Israel in the millennium. 7 years of the ministry of Jesus Christ puts us in the rapture and in the millennium, and Israel also. That's why you check it, and we'll bring them when we get to it. He says 70 weeks equals 7 years. And you didn't have any trouble saying that. But you see, church, you're not listening. You're only listening. Go, well, what do we need this for? What is the revelation of Jesus Christ? Well, I don't know. Maybe he was God, maybe he wouldn't. River Jordan, he could have got anointed, he could have been this, he could have been... I was told just recently that Jesus' soul was... His soul was his theophany. But there wasn't but one. And I thought, oh God, how can a man say that and think that Jesus got eternal life on the River Jordan? I just sat there and just wept in my heart. But you get one point in at a time. Right, Sister Gail? She told me one time, she said, Brother so-and-so is preaching what you're preaching. There's about 10 years behind that he's picking up, so one at a time. Don't worry about it. But listen, folks, that's why I believe the key to understand, listen, the key to understand the Bible, the key to understand the Bible is what? What did the prophet say the key to understand the Bible is? Now, I didn't bring this quote because I didn't figure I needed it. Because you surely ought to have it. What is the key to understand the Bible? One true and living God. Right? The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the Bible? The Bible is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is not a revelation of Wade Dale. It's not a revelation of Dick Addison. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. But now he's got to have somebody that he lives in. Then they become part of it. The prophet said the bride is part of the revelation and has to be revealed. Do you want that quote? What do you think he's going to do in the last day? Brother Dick, when we go out of here in the rapture, the world is going to have to know. They might not know it for 3.5 years or 10 years or 100 years when they come up to at the white throne. I don't care how long it is. But they're going to know it. They're going to know there was a bride on this earth. It's going to be said again they were Christians. Like it does back there in the Bible when it called them Christians at Antioch. Because that's what God's waiting on me and you. But Brother Branham over and over said the last thing is the anointing of the temple in the millennium. So the 70 weeks goes to the millennium. Goes from the rebuilding of the temple back there down through and goes into the millennium. But it only covers the time God is dealing with Israel. So he dealt with them to Calvary. Come on, he ain't been dealing with them since Calvary. But when we leave out of here, he goes right back dealing with Israel. But he don't leave them in the tribulation. If you only got 3.5 years after the rapture of the bride of Jesus Christ, you know where you're ending at? Armageddon. And that means termination of the forces, and that means it's over. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. The key to understand Daniel's 70 weeks is the 70th week has got to go into the millennium. If you don't get nothing else, write that down and say, Brother Dale, I don't agree with you, but take it with you and think about it. The key to understand the Daniel 70 weeks is to see that the Daniel 70 weeks goes into the millennium. It begun at the rebuilding of the temple. March the 14th, 445 B.C. Well, Brother Dale, is that 3.5 or 365 and a fourth, or is that 360? Oh, we'll get to that. How do you think Brother Branham come up from 475 years? And he wound up getting 483 years out of it. I can get within less than a year of that, mathematically. I've never heard nobody else ever try. Because if you multiply it the other way, you're going past. I'm just saying what God has revealed to us, folks. If we'll just listen simply, it'll come forth, not as dates and times. Paul said, I'm scared of you. He said, you keep days and times and seasons, I'm scared of your experience, the prophet said. It don't have anything to do with us how long it is to Israel over there. But what I'm trying to get you to see is the most beautiful mathematical calculations of the Bible puts Israel in the millennium. But that mathematical calculation don't put them there. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. When we leave out of here, those two witnesses start preaching Christ to the Jews. Right? And the Bible says they're born to the day. They receive Jesus Christ, and then they have to be killed for what they believe. I know big man this message said he didn't have to be killed, and the two witnesses didn't have to be killed. Well, let him argue with the Bible. What the Bible says, so I ain't going to argue with nobody about it. Ain't no need of it. Just read the Bible. Well, we didn't know what the Bible... You don't have to know what the Bible said when it's in black and white.
That's right.
That's
right.
Listen, church, I'm not upset about it. I'm just trying my best to get you to see something. Something come across me a moment ago in my heart. I'm trying to get you to see the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because that's what's going to put you and I into the millennium. And the only thing that'll put us... When Israel comes forth, that 144,000, they accept Jesus Christ, and you know what they do? Now the prophet said, let me see where you got the evidence of the Holy Ghost or not. You remember that? You remember what he said? He quoted the scripture where that they sigh and cry for the abomination done in the city. Well, I'm not worried about what they're doing downtown Atlanta, because I can't change that. I believe it's the city of the people that he's talking about. You can believe what you want to. I believe it's in this message, people, the bride, so-called, around the world.
Amen. That's right.
And then my heart is sighing and crying, trying my best to get to them, to tell them the truth.
That's right.
It's the only reason I opened up the internet system to where it could go.
Amen.
Sure, we're going to get ridiculed for it, but what's the difference?
Right.
Let the message out to where they can at least have an opportunity to believe. You that hear it, just remember, you go back to your pastor and talk to him. But if he's off the Bible, tell him he's off of it. Of course, you'll be out, but that's all right. You'll find you somewhere to go. It doesn't matter if you're over in the far, deepest, dark jungles of Africa. God will send you somebody. Because he's responsible for his people, and he will bring them in. But listen, the 70th week starts after the rapture of the bride.
Right.
See? Well, a lot of people think that the 70 and a half week starts after. Show me that in the Bible. See, church, you're not even listening to the Bible. I'm talking about on the internet. I'm not as much here because we've been through this over and over, and I hope you see. But God never made a covenant for 7 years with nobody. But the devil knows. Why? Listen, why? Well, this is way down the road, but I'll repeat it. Why did Satan make a covenant with it? Why does the beast make a covenant with Israel for 7 years? What's the purpose? Why? That's a government between governments. And a religious between religious. That's when your ecclesiastical and your civil and everything comes together. Why would he make it for 7 years? Why do that Satan come riding in the first church age on a white horse. You never thought about it? Brother Brown said he types after Christ. Now, he's not a type of Christ. Uh-uh. No, hold it. He's not a type of Christ. He types after Christ. Satan knows Jesus preached 3.5 years back yonder, and he knows he'll preach 3.5 years over here, so he makes a covenant for 7 years, and then he breaks his in the middle, showing who he is. The book of Daniel is not covering anything of God breaking a covenant. I'll show you where the prophet said it. It's in the message, Daniel 70 weeks. He says that he there is the Antichrist, that he shall confirm his covenant with many for a week. And in the midst of the week, he'll break his covenant. He shows you and gives you the scripture that that's the Antichrist making his covenant. That is not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ made a covenant with Abraham that he'd save his people. His seed after him. He'd come back there and fulfill the first half of that. And in the end time, he'll have the last 3.5 going to Israel, because that gives them the ministry. It gives the ministry back there that would affect you and I. But then it goes over there and gives them the ministry that brings it right back to them. And he's telling them, you're going into the millennium. Read about 498, I believe it is, in the seal book. I'm pretty sure it's in the last seal, where he covers what those two prophets will tell him. You missed the right of being sonship. But said, now we're going to the millennium. And that's where Dan and Ephraim, even of their garbage can deal they done while they were on earth, but in the millennium, God still remembers and puts them back in.
Amen.
It'll be perfect in the millennium.
Right.
There'll be 13 tribes in the millennium, just like there should have been 13 to start with, because the Levite was supposed to have been in the middle with 12 around him. That's what your prophet taught in the church age book. The church, listen. In that 70th week, he's coming to make an end of their sin. He's coming to bring in everlasting righteousness. He's coming to unseal the vision. Now, are you listening? The prophet said what Gabriel done to Daniel, the Holy Ghost does to you and I. He comes to reveal the truth. And we'll take the truth and walk into the millennium. And they'll get two prophets when we leave out of here. That brother Brandon, when he got over that sixth seal, he said, I had to get up and walk out. Everybody thought, sixth seal, tribulation, what in the world? I've asked the same question. What do you think he's worried about when he comes to the sixth seal? It wasn't because of the destruction he saw. It wasn't because he saw great destruction coming. He'd done prophesied that in 33. It was when he seen what that sixth seal would be to them two. It would be two prophets come to Israel with thus saith the Lord. And he knew he was standing there himself preaching thus saith the Lord, the revelation of Jesus Christ to the bride of Christ. He saw where he stood. Oh, church. He makes himself known to Israel in the 70th week. Because he starts making himself known as quick as we leave out of here to them. And he deals with them for 3.5 years. Then the millennium comes in. Now let me ask you a question. Isn't the millennium 360 days to the year? During the tribulation, Israel is not. Now, I could make it trickery, but I better not. Just forget it. Because I'll try sometimes to trick you into thinking. I mean thinking with your brain. Israel gets 3.5 years, but that's 360 days. According to what is covered on the 3.5 years of Daniel, what is it, about 12 or 13 there, where those two prophets prophesy for, what is it, 1260 days? And that's 360 days to the year. So they get 360 days to a year. Gentiles are still going right on with their little calendars and looking at it and all of this. God's done getting ready, because he's done putting this prophetic right back into realm. That's why the prophet said in the Daniel 7:2, he said, you can't figure anything out. He said, because God is only dealing with 360 days to a year. Come on, read the message. He said, you can't figure it out. He said, God's dealing with 360. See, you're dealing with 365 and a four trying to figure it out. You can't do it. See, he's already, with those two witnesses, he brings that 360 days to a year for 3.5 years. That's why in the book of Daniel it says time, times, and half. Time is one, times is two, that's 3.5.
Amen.
That's what it says in your Bible.
Right.
Come on, it's in the Daniel 70 weeks. Brother Branham quotes time, time, time. He doesn't say times. That don't change the Bible. That's just like he says that there's 3/4 of the angels fell when the Bible said there was 2/3 of the angels fell when the Bible says only 1/3. That doesn't change anything. He's a human being speaking. Like when he says, every time quoting, he said, the angels of the Lord are encounted about those who fear him. Fear him. Read your Bible. It says the angel singular. What are you doing, Brother Dale? Correct? No. I'm telling you, he knows what he's talking about. Because it takes all the angels to make the one angel. So there are angels encamped about us. There's only one angel, which is the Holy Spirit. What I'm telling you, the Bible's right. The key to understand the Bible is to believe the prophet. No matter what your mind comprehends or whatever. But to believe him. And listen to him. Let's just read a few things that he said now. It's in yours, so if you have your book and you get it and you go to the go to sixfold purpose. Now I'll give you each one coming down, sixfold purpose. I'm trying to get you to see what this 70th week. 70th week is the key to understand. If you can catch on to what happens in the 70th week, you don't have any trouble with dates and times and seasons. It's really irrelevant to speak about dates and times and seasons. I thought about it today. I thought, ain't no need me in preaching that. I'll just preach this and forget it. Because everything else is irrelevant. You know what I mean? I don't mean it ain't worthy. But now listen, look at paragraph 51, sixfold purpose to Gabriel. All right? Now, if we go back in Daniel again, we'll find out that in Daniel, we'll find out here, the 24th verse, all right, to finish the transgression, do what? To finish what? The transgression. To finish Israel's transgression. Now, have you got it? Everybody got what I'm reading from? Okay. What is a transgression? It's to go against something. A transgression against me is to do a wrong to me. Transgress against you is to do a wrong to you. So Israel did a wrong to God. And in this 70th week, what's going to happen? God is going to finish the transgression of Israel.
Amen.
Finish the transgression and will turn away the ungodliness from Jacob, and then all Israel will be born again. All of them will receive the Holy Ghost. He ain't talking about every Israelite, is he? What's he talking about? 144,000. Right? Okay. Paragraph 85. Turn on over now. Same message. Sixfold purpose. Paragraph 85. Let me try to see if I can catch it with you, because I know some of you get it mixed up. And I'll try to give a page comparison. All right, if you got this kind of book here, if you got this book, look on page 54. What is it on the white one? 52 in the white one, sorry. 62. 62 in the white one is 54 in this book. All right. I'll try to help you that way. Paragraph 85, right down at the bottom. And this 70th year of Daniel, now watch it, 70th week, rather, coming to make an end of sin. Put it away. You understand? Now watch the first, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin. See, number 3. To make reconciliation for iniquity. So what's he doing? Where's it done? In the 70th week. All right. Look over at paragraph 139. make sure I got, no, there's a difference in that part. Look over paragraph 94. Of the 70 weeks. Now, paragraph 94 of the 70 weeks. The 70 weeks. Now, that's the last one. All right? I'm doing that deliberately where that we can follow it. The computer runs one thing and we run another sometimes. Paragraph 94. He's talking about the Pentecostal brethren and everything. Listen. He said they're looking for great things to happen. Just paraphrasing it, and then we get to paragraph 95. He said they're looking for great things to happen, but it's not in the church. Paragraph 95 now, which is in your book, which is page 94, this book. 108 in the white one. 144,000 don't appear there. See? They appear not in the third chapter. They're on over in the scriptures further. And now we see that all this stuff that was to take place was over in this time of the 70th week, the last week. Now, if you've already had 69 weeks and lived it exactly the way God said they did, and it happened exactly the way God said it would do, then there's one more week promised to the Jew. So there was 69 back yonder, one more week over here. That's what your Bible says. 69 weeks back there, one more week over here. That's what the Bible says. He said it happens in this 70th week. Yeah. Now let's read on down and see what they do. Now does everybody understand up that far? Everybody understands. Now we come up and we got them up to the rejecting of the Messiah. And see, from the rejecting of the Messiah, the last week. The last week comes after the rejecting of the Messiah. It doesn't come before, it comes after. Look over at paragraph 118. See, I'm just trying my best to get you to see the revelation of Jesus Christ. So you think I'm doing it with this, that, and the other. I'm doing it with one thing in mind. To get you to see Jesus Christ. Because this is not, what do you think your prophet was preaching? When he ends up in the anointing of the Most Holy, it's saying that it's you. The anointing is upon you. Who's he talking about? You. So look at paragraph 118, which is page 99 in this book. 113 in the white one. Now, a Pentecostal brother can fly them all over here in the Lady of Sin. They're in sleeping through every one of those ages waiting, and we which are alive, the little remaining bunch over here, remain alive until the coming of the Lord will not hinder those which are asleep, for the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we shall be caught up together with them. Amen. With them. Here we are, meeting right here to go to meet the Lord in the air, and there you are. Where we at? Right here. Where did the Messiah get cut off? Exactly where the Word said. Where will that 70th week begin? Exactly after this church is cut off, then God returns to the Jews. When is the 70th week going to begin? Paragraph 173. This is in the 70th week now. Paragraph 172, read it. Now notice, that's where we see him coming back to the millennium. That's page 110 in the dark coded, 110. 173, what's 126. Now notice, there's where we've seen her coming back to the millennial temple over here at the end of the Jewish age. The anointed, here he come, riding on white horses. Those that followed him on white horses, horses' powers, dressed in white blood, or vesture dipped in blood, wrote on him the word of God. He come as a mighty conqueror, yes sir, to set up the millennium, come into the temple, glory. There he meets that 144,000 now, after that 70th week here. Now he's got them in the millennium. He's brought you 144,000 into the millennium, right? The 70th week, This goes on during the 70th week. And the three, in the middle of it, he breaks it because he kills those two Pentecostal prophets. Now, that's not God. That's in the tribulation. That's the Antichrist. And his covenant, as I said, he typed after Christ, because Christ has 3.5 years ministry there and 3.5 years. Satan makes his for 7 years and breaks it in the middle where it completely looked like God himself. That's why he come riding on a white horse, because Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a white donkey. The Antichrist comes riding on a white horse, which is the church. But he's typing after Christ. That's why I tried to tell you, he cannot be the beast upon the earth today. They're preaching those things around the message. He can't be. He can't be the beast until you and I get out of here. Amen. Do you know why? Because he don't know how to become incarnate.
Right. Yes, sir.
He's having to watch God and see what God is doing. But God will become incarnate in his bride in the last day. And when he does, we'll go into rapture.
Right.
Then the devil knows how to become incarnate then. So he's having to wait. He can't do anything until you and I move. That's what I wish we could see that. That message I preached about the devil being nothing laying along the side of the way. Sure, he's doing everything in the world today, beating us to death, hammering at our minds or everything. But he cannot defeat us. Why? Because we've already overcome. See, we're done in the 70th week. Because we got the ministry of Jesus Christ. If 70 weeks equals 7 years, as the prophet taught later, then where are we at? 3.5 years was back there. 3.5 years is going, the ministry is going to be over there. And you and I get the revelation of Jesus Christ. We know what he'll reveal to them when it ain't even been revealed yet. Because we know what he revealed back there. What he revealed back there. 6 seals. Matthew 24. Come on. Jesus preached 6 seals while he was on the earth. But he didn't let nobody know it, right? He had to wait until the end time when the prophet come on the scene. Then when that prophet come on the scene and seen what he was doing, like I said a minute ago, and he sees what it does to them two prophets to Israel, he sees what it's doing to the bride of Jesus Christ. He's making himself known to you and I. Why? Because the vision is no longer sealed up. Oh, how much could we preach on it? You know where that vision was sealed up at? When he said seal the vision, you know where it was sealed up at? I can't get the scripture correct, but I'll find it. When Jeremiah and them was fixing to go into captivity, they took the record of the deeds and they put it in an earthly vessel. You know what? A clay pot. They put it in the ground. They buried it. You know why? Because when they come back, they want to know who owned what. And when they come back, they know who owned what by the deeds they'd kept. The enemy didn't find their deeds. He was in an earthly vessel. A vessel that was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was those seals. He still is those seals. And now it's in the revelation when he's showing where he's at and where he's living in. He's living in you. What do you think they're going to tell those two witnesses? They're going to tell Israel. They're going to tell them about a bride that become the Word. They're going to tell about a group of little people on earth that become the Word and walked off the earth into rapture. And when they do, but see, church, we're looking for some great big thing. Instead of looking down at the simplicity of what God is trying to do to us. Trying to reveal himself in a group of people. Do you realize what's in that first ministry of Jesus Christ? It's got to be in you and I. Before they can get it, it's got to be in us. Because it can't go to them until it comes to us. But yeah, we're looking for some great big something. You want me to quote you out of Daniel 70 weeks? I just read it there a moment ago. He said, because there ain't much written about the church. He said, them great big things everybody's looking for is through the two witnesses. Well, then, Brother Dale, there ain't nothing for us. You lying hypocrite. Don't say I said that. Don't say I said there ain't nothing for us. Because the ministry of Jesus Christ has got to be standing on earth in a bride. Not in one person of carrying Brother Branham's ministry. No. But in the bride of Jesus Christ, the ministry of Jesus Christ will be on earth.
Right.
And Sister Solace, the little part you and I have. Do you know what? He ain't complete without us.
Right. Right.
You know that?
Right. That's
right. If he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you and I are part of the Godhead,
right. Right.
Then he's not complete without us. Yeah, but I'm not, well, okay, you got fingernails, haven't you? In the body of Christ, they don't mean a whole lot to us in our natural body because we can live without them. But, you know, I sure do like them, don't you? Especially when this itch gets on to me. I sure love my fingernails. I got this thing, got on the end of it, and I reach back there with this great big old long thing. It's got fingers like claws on it. Boy, it feels good, and I'm going on my back, it's scratching away. See, everybody's very valuable. Because when it says they without us cannot be perfect, you know what that means? That means you can't be perfect without me. As well as it means them down through there can't be perfect. Come on. It's got to be everybody. So then don't degrade anybody that doesn't understand what you understand. You've never heard me degrade anybody that's trying. Sure, I've said a lot of people are stupid and everything, because we've been stupid too. To believe Satan's lie and listen to him. Instead of standing up on God's word. And believing that God sent us a prophet. But you know what most of the people of this message preach till this day? That Brother Branham was wrong until 1963 when the seals broke. And then when the seals broke, the Son of Man come to straighten out Brother Branham. Come on, you hadn't never heard those things? Is that right, Brother Ray? Some of that on the internet? You know? People say, oh, he was wrong before 63. But in 63, the Son of Man come to straighten him out. I wonder what he was standing on for that to be able to break to him. But listen, church. The 70th week, the key is to understand that that 70th week goes into the millennium. They're going to come back and build a millennial temple before you and I get here. Come on, they're going to build a millennial temple. Draw that thing out then and right over the place where Brother Branham put this right millennium and you'll see what he's talking about. That's why he called it the Great Tribulation. He put the two prophets there in the Tribulation. Because he always taught the Tribulation was coming right out of the rapture. And it'd only be 3.5 years. He never taught a 7-year Tribulation. But then he put the Great Tribulation. Why? Because at the end of 3.5 years, the great battle of Armageddon is going to come. And everything the prophet said would be killed. A cleansing of the land, a great volcanic eruptions, and all kind of things will happen. Where it'll be probably atom bombs going off. What are going to happen with all this stuff that's stored up? What's all this nuclear stuff that's going to be underground? What's going to happen to it? That's what they're afraid of now. You get all the bombs that's in the world today to go off at one time, there wouldn't be a speck left of this thing. But you know, God ain't going to let it do that. He knows how to control nuclear stuff. You know that we're sitting on powder kegs and don't even know it? How many of you got smoke detectors in your home? You want me to tell you something? You know, in a smoke detector, according to the papers I just read about it, is a little bit of radium, or ever the nuclear stuff, or what you want to call it now. You call it technology, you get what it is. And you know, there was a boy one time, you had never heard of the Boy Scout bomber. There was a little boy one time, went on the internet and figured out how to make a bomb. And you know, all he had to do was go around and get all of the smoke detectors and extract that radioactive particle from that, and he was fixing to blow the community up before they found him. Because he got a bunch of them and put it together. And he knew how to make it to work. Because he got it off the internet. You don't ever read the newspaper. Of course, I don't ever believe everything I read. But there is some things that's in there, you know. But you don't realize in your home is a smoke detector. We probably got about 10 in the house, I guess, all over it somewhere. Probably a few junks. You know, this lady was even, when she read about it, she was even worried about throwing the smoke detector into the garbage. And the man explained that it was not enough radioactive material to do any damage. But if you extract it all and put it together, you can blow up something with it. You see, we're sitting on a powder keg, but God knows how to control it. All those atom bombs starts going off, all it'll do is just wipe off. And how long do you think it's going to take God to bring forth when the world goes back to perfect axis? In the millennium, you're on perfect axis. 360 days to the year, perfect axis. How long do you think it's going to take him to wipe all this stuff off? How long did it take him to make the Garden of Eden? Hey, I know what 1,000 years in a day, and I know all of that. I understand, but I also know the Bible said in one day. God could make another world as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Right here in one day. 1 minute. 1 second. Oh, you want scripture for it? Isaiah 65. I create a new Jerusalem. Come on. Are we in the Bible? He could do it instantly. But he could let that wipe off everything that needed to be wiped off. But you see, he don't have to have a place to bury nuclear stuff. He knows how to annihilate it. You understand what I'm saying? See, I'm trying to get you to see the very God that you believe in. Don't worry about it. He knows exactly where you and I are at. Right on the line. He knows where we're going and what we're doing. He knows all the things. But the 70th week, the key of understanding is, I ain't through, I'll continue it next week. But the 70th week, the key is the 70th week goes into the millennium. And if it's into the millennium, it's got to bring back perfection. Now, the key to understand is what I've been quoting over and over. In Daniel, he said, unto thy people and the holy city. Come on, the 70th week ain't dealing just for the... In the old, under the 69, they built a temple. Right? They built a temple. But in the millennium, it's going to be a beautiful. Because there ain't going to be no devil there. Because he's going to be bound 1,000 years. You know, I feel so sorry for him because for 1,000 years, I don't understand that. Because I know the prophet said it ain't a log chain holding him. He said it's a chain of circumstances he don't have nobody to work through. Don't you think you'd be in bad shape, Brother Dick, if you was the devil and didn't have nobody to work through? I would be hilariously upset. He's not going to enjoy the millennium. For 1,000 years, the devil's not going to enjoy it. He's going to have to sit and watch. The children of Israel in a millennial reign is a promise. The bride of Jesus Christ is there on a honeymoon to preach the gospel to the heathen. He's going to have to watch. He can't do nothing with you, right? He can't do a thing with you, Jeffrey. Wouldn't that be something? But you know, a man said one day, he said, the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me.
Right.
And at that time, he was headed to Calvary. Right. But he didn't even record that as being worthy of talking of. He said, he don't have nothing in me.
Amen.
Wouldn't it be something if you and I could come to that place?
Amen.
The prophet said you could live so close to God that the devil didn't know what to do with you.
Right.
Now, that's what your prophet said.
Amen.
Are we striving for that?
Amen. Right.
Come on, brother boy. Are we striving to come to a place to where that Satan don't have nothing to do with us? Like I've always tried to get you to see. You know, the devil's up there. The Bible said he's the accuser of the brethren. He's up in heaven right now accusing you and I of what we've done all day. But wouldn't you like to be a lawyer in court? Wouldn't you like to be a prosecuting attorney in court? And you're trying your best to get that person convicted, and the judge is asleep. I've seen that happen. We used to life. There was an old man up in Gainesville. He was sick a lot, old judge. They'd have to wake him up and make decisions. And everybody just got tickled at it because, you know. Because they know better to wake him up without doing it nicely. Because if they didn't, it was terrible. Because he was known to be pretty rough if they caught him in the wrong thing. So they didn't holler at him and scream at him. They would just kind of lightly, sir, you know, sir, I'd like to, you know, protest that, what they said. And he's protesting it. Let's see what it is. You know, he about had to repeat. Now, I'm just expressing it because I'm just trying to show you that's what the devil's going to be one of these days. He's going to be standing there accusing, and he is now. He's up in heaven right now accusing you. But everything today that you put under the blood, God said, I can't see it. He said, I can't see it. The devil says, you know they done it. He said, yeah, but look. That he's pleading the blood. Oh, how wonderful that blood is. Let's stand. Go ahead, brother Boyd.
369, the Red Bull.
369. Anybody have a need?
The mighty God is Jesus, the Prince of Peace is He, the everlasting Father, the King eternally. The wonderful in wisdom, by who all things were made, the fullness of the Godhead, in Jesus is displayed. It's all in Him, it's all in Him. The fullness of the Godhead, it's all in Him, it's all in Him.
Do you have a need? Come and let's believe.
Jesus standeth tall in Him. He is Jehovah, Lord of hosts, the omnipresent Spirit who fills the universe, the Advocate, the High Priest, the Lamb for sinners slain, this Author of redemption. Oh, glory to His name.
What?
It's all in Him. It's all in Him. The fullness of the Godhead is all in Him.
It's all in Him. It's all in Him.
Our brother's got something wrong with him. I know he was sick this past weekend. He said it's something like the flu, so let's pray and believe that God will take away all the problems. Father, we lay our hands upon our brother, believing that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, is the healer, the redeemer, the savior, the all in all. And we thank you that you have already healed our brother. And now we just ask you to make it manifest in the flesh that everything be all. That one that we're speaking of, the one we've spoken of that will be there in the millennial reign and will be the promise to David to sit on the throne. And it'll be you, Lord, our Redeemer, our all in all, in Jesus is your name. In Jesus' name we condemn this sickness.
Created.
Our wife has had a lot of, everybody knows, coughing and all kind of congestion and things. Well, let's just believe it. Father, this coughing and congestion and things, we condemn it under the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we remind you, Father, that you promised it. And Lord, that you will come on the scene now. And that you'll make manifest the healing atonement, and this cold and coughing and all that congestion is condemned by the blood of Jesus Christ. Anybody else? Anybody else that would have a need? Goodness of the Godhead. His name. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. Put on this song. Father, we know all of this old colds and congestion and sicknesses and things. It's because of, in the natural, the weather change. But yet it's because the devil is loosed and he's a roaring lion and he knows he had this little season. He's afraid that bride will come to the place to believe you, Father. Help us to believe. Forgive our unbelief. And help us to stand in you and let you be in each one of us. And we thank you for it now in the name of Jesus Christ. Our sister is healed, Lord, and we believe it. Anybody else? It's all in. It's all in. Keep prayer cards with you. The man that I was talking about came, Brother Dean and him know. His wife has a growth right here on her neck. She said they've done a biopsy and things. So they told her that it's probably or possibly cancer. She said, y'all pray for her. I happen to remember it. I just reached my billfold and got a prayer call. I said, here, you know what that is. She's the Pentecostal goes to a congregation or something up here above us. I said, keep that with you and believe. And see. Because those prayer calls, they mean something. They're a personal contact. Father, our sister hurt her hand, Lord. We know and realize that you are the healer and the one that we're speaking of here is the only one that can do our sister any good. But we ask you to come on the scene now and we lay our hands upon our sister believing that by your stripes she's already healed and we thank you in Jesus' name. Go and see. Anybody else? He is all in. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. I have to put Lisa Boy back because I always give them all away. See, I believe in it. I believe in the prayer clock. I believe in the prayers of the saints. Like Brother Woodby used to make a good point. He said, I'd rather have a backslidden son of God pray for me than all the rest of the world. He said, because God would hear his prayer. only believe all things are possible. Only believe. All of these that are up here. We've seen God come on the scene for some, haven't we? Because we believe. Only. Sing it this way now. Sing it what? Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe in all things are possible. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe all things are possible. Lord, I believe. Brother Brown said that man wrote that song especially for him. And listen, he said that angel that comes to me, he said he loves to hear that song. Because remember, what was it? Get the people to believe you. Get the people to believe you, nothing will stand in your way. He said when that angel hears that song, said he likes it. Well, see, I'm not dealing with the angel of Brother Branham and trying to talk about things like people do that away. I believe the Holy Spirit is the angel of the Lord that is encamped about all of us. And the Holy Spirit loves to hear people say, I believe. He loves to hear people just say, I am going to be a Christian. I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm going to serve Him no matter what goes or comes. He likes to hear you say that. In the presence. One more time before we go. Sing it unto Him. In the presence of your holy God Almighty, Prince of Troubles vanish, hearts are bended.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah. In the presence. Let's just speak to Him now. Wow, He's in our presence, huh? Father, we thank You. We love You. We thank You for tonight, Lord. I pray that what's been said maybe is a repeat of a lot of things we've said, but we want to keep it on the people's mind. Because that way You can reveal it to the heart. If we can keep reminding the brain that the prophet was right. And in that 70th week, Israel gets 3.5 years of ministry. But then it goes into the millennium and the temple is erected and we come back. Not to dwell as people upon the earth in a reign of that form, because that is given to the Jews to fulfill Your word. And just, Father, just to know that. How much would it be to just to be a child of Israel to be able to know that one day the reign will be there to... The millennium will be the promise to David. How much to believe Thy word. how much to walk in the Word. Satan, you've heard what was said tonight. I might not be able to make you to obey, but my Savior can. And He's laid it into our hands. So you take your hands off the children of the living God. The little bride of Jesus Christ believes Thy Word. There are sicknesses here of many forms. Now trying to give our wife heart trouble to where she has to have tests and things. Satan, you are defeated. Sure, you can beat upon us, but you can only do that when my Savior gives you permission. You can laugh all you wish now, but one day you'll have to sit beside and watch. And cannot fool with anyone. Oh, what a horrible time you have ahead of you, and that's why you're that away. You're upset. You're doing everything you can to try to hinder the children of the living God. But my God has already said it. And I believe what He says. Father, just be with the people on the way home. Just bless and take care. Give a safe journey. And Lord, fulfill Your Word in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name. And a very Merry Christmas, a happy time to each and every one of you. Just remember Christ. The hour that we live in Christ is the most important thing. They're trying to put Christ back in Christmas. We've never taken Him out because we know who the real Christmas is. Because it's Jesus Christ in our heart. Money, gifts, and things are wonderful. That's fine. Because that's between humans. But the greatest gift of all is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. You're dismissed. Make sure and get your fruit. Wade's going outside to open the back of the car. Bring it inside, please.